Welcome and good morning, church.
Good morning.
Today is a good day. The Lord's going to send us some water, looks like, don't it? He knows what we need and when we need it, so we're going to thank Him for it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Before we begin worship, let's look at a few announcements. You see what is listed. Does anybody have anything to say about these that are listed? Okay, so tomorrow night, Monday night, the Ladies Auxiliary, or at 9 to 12 on Mondays, the Ladies Auxiliary Quilt Project to support the veterans. What did we decide on Christmas caroling today?
No caroling.
All right, I think we're going to have to cancel again today. We'll come up with an alternative plan. Monday the 18th, Ladies Auxiliary Program, that's tomorrow night at 7. Tuesday, Deacons Meeting at 7. Next Sunday, Christmas, or the 24th, Christmas Eve service at 6. And Bible studies on Thursdays, 10 o'clock. And if you need to use the fellowship hall or any of the buildings here, see Donna. You see that listed with a phone number. Any other announcements?
Remind everybody to get their cards out of the box.
Yes, go to your mailbox and get your cards. We've got a lot of cards in the mailboxes. Go check your mailboxes. All right? Any others? All right, let's prepare for worship.
Let's all turn in our hymnals to 813. Stand and sing, Glory be to the Father.
When I look around, I see shadows of sadness, families who have lost loved ones, people in prison, people who are isolated and feel on their own.
When I look around, I see shadows of grief, people dreading the holidays because of painful memories or because they don't want to spend another Christmas alone.
In the face of sadness, we light a candle of joy.
In the face of grief, in the face of loss, we light a candle of joy.
May the light from this candle overwhelm the world.
May the light from this candle say to all that God's joy is coming on earth as it is already in heaven.
Friends, be not afraid. God's joy is at hand.
Stand, look in your bulletin, and let's read the responsive reading this morning together. We gather today to worship the one who created us.
The one who calls us.
The one who equips us.
The one who loves us.
With joyful hearts, let us worship God.
God, with our whole heart, we worship you.
Almighty God, we thank you for your presence here today. We need you in our lives. And it's comforting to know that when you call us, you equip us. You give us the gifts that we need to serve with kingdom power in your great kingdom that you've created. Help us to reach that potential and strengthen us as we worship you this morning with our whole hearts. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
If you'll remain standing and turn in your hymnals to 265, we're going to sing verses 1, 2, 4, and 6 of the First Noel. Linda Faye has our scriptures this morning.
Thank you. Our Old Testament reading today is from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 4. And this is talking about the good news for the oppressed as Isaiah is talking to us today. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oats of righteousness, a planting of our Lord for the display of the Lord's splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, restore the places that are devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Our New Testament reading is from the book of Luke, in chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. And this is called the Magnificat, Mary's Song of Praise. And it's given Mary's response. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies my Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. He has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will be called blessed. For the mighty one, our God, has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generations to generations. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He scattered those who are proud in their foremost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, and remembering to them to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors, as he promises us today." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
continue to worship as we pray this morning. Any needs we need to remember. A reminder to pray for Greg this week. He'll be going on Tuesday to Duke. So remember him and the team to be ministering to him on Tuesday.
Jeffrey Kennedy.
Okay. Any others?
Val Lychek.
Okay. Miss Caroline. Okay. Any others?
And we're thankful that Gabriel made his name safe.
Amen. Good morning. All right. Let's remember these needs, and on the back of your bulletins, a list of many this week. As you pray, lift these, and remember to pray for one another. God's mighty good to us. Let's take action together as we pray.
Let's all turn to 250, stand and sing all three verses of O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Of thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silence.
Let's pray. Lord, you've blessed us with abundance. You've given us and provided everything that we need to be your people and to live a holy life. And we just thank you for that this morning. As we worship, we give back a portion. We ask your blessing on it. Use it. May it strengthen your church and the way it is used. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand for the doxology, please. Be seated. Our scripture text today comes from Luke chapter 19, verse 10. And our thought is, what is the purpose of Christmas. Anybody looked at any Christmas movies yet? You know, there's a ton of them. One thing I noticed, the common thread in your modern day Christmas movies is you don't hear nothing about Jesus. There's buying gifts and snowmen and Christmas parties and all that kind of stuff, but not a lot about Jesus. I've preached many Christmas messages from every possible angle over the years, from the perspective of Mary and Joseph and the wise men and the shepherds, the innkeeper, King Herod, even God himself. You've probably heard Christmas messages from a variety of angles as well. But the most important perspective our communities need to understand and our churches need to understand is the purpose of Christmas. We can preach all particulars of Jesus' birth and miss the purpose of Christmas. And when we miss the point of Christmas, if we ignore the reason for Christmas, you may as well take down your Christmas lights and wreaths and forget about Christmas cards and return your gifts to Amazon and cancel your Christmas services. So then, what is the purpose of Christmas? Luke 19:10 tells us exactly why Jesus' birth matters so much. It simply says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost." Church, as we proclaim the Christmas story this holiday season, nothing matters more than that simple message. That's Christmas in a nutshell. Jesus didn't come just to be a baby. He came to grow up, to live on earth as a man, and to set an example for us, and then to die on a cross, but then to be resurrected. And in his resurrection, that power of the resurrection, he was able to fulfill what God required to save mankind on the cross. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus' purpose is to pursue those who are in a lost, wandering condition without hope or any kingdom value. So, church, who are the lost people in our communities whom God has called us to reach in his name? What have they lost? Jesus has come to save, to seek and save the lost. Lost is an important word. Now, you've likely been a follower of Jesus for many years now, and you may have forgotten what it's like to be spiritually lost. You may have forgot what it's like to have the joy of being found when you're in that lost condition. In Luke 15, Jesus gives us three great stories about being lost and being found. In the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son, these stories remind us what it's like to be lost. These parables of Jesus show us what we lose when we're spiritually lost. I want to mention five things, and there may be more. I don't know why this computer cut off. So the parable of the lost sheep reminds us that when we're lost, we lose direction. It says, "Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus. But when the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them,' then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in open country and go after that one until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and he says, 'Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. So when we're lost, when we're in a lost condition spiritually, we lose direction. No sheep intends to get lost. They just simply see greener grass and they move toward it. And pretty soon, they're lost. The same is true with humans. We tend to wander. We naturally don't follow God's ways. God intends for us to follow Him in the great work that He's doing all around us. But we tend to wander away from His purpose. We're prone to pursue things that have no real kingdom value. And to be frank, the truth is we get comfortable wandering in life doing our own thing. We gravitate towards the illusion that the green grass will fulfill our deepest needs. And as we drift away from God's intended purpose, we're spiritually lost. Lost people have lost direction. And when we're lost, we lose God's protection. Sheep are some of the most vulnerable animals on the planet. They have no defense. Sheep are goners without a shepherd. We're just as vulnerable when we're lost spiritually. When we're not under the shepherd's protection, a lot of things can happen. We're tired. We're anxious. We're restless. We're hopeless. We're filled with fear. And we're at great risk for spiritual attack from the evil that's present in our world. We do what God never intends for us to do. We put our trust in what we can do instead of what God can do. And that is a gamble that lost people take. Lost people lose God's protection. And then there's this thing called potential, number three. Jesus tells the story about a woman that has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost coin." And in the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. When we're lost, we lose our potential. The parable of the lost coin points to the idea that every coin has enormous potential. A coin can be used to feed a family, to build a business, to fund food for a hungry family, to buy clothes for those who have none, to give a tithe to the Lord God Almighty. And the same is true with you and me and the lost people in our communities. We're all ultimately valuable to God. We're so valuable to Him that He went out of His way at Christmas to prove to us that He would be born on earth and die as our Savior. And God has given every one of us spiritual gifts to make the church and to make our communities and to make the world a better place to live. God has saved us. And God has placed every member in His church for a specific purpose. And the church needs every member using their God-given gift so the church can reach its full potential. And the more we're connected to our Creator, the greater our potential becomes. And the more we're able to do things of kingdom value. But lost people, they lose their God-given potential. And then Jesus tells the parable of the lost son. There was a man that had these two sons, and the younger son said to his father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided the property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got all his stuff together, and he left him to a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. And after he lost everything, there was a severe famine in the country, and he began to be in need. And so he hired himself a citizen of that country, hired himself out to a citizen of that country, and he sent him in the fields to feed the pigs. And as he watched them pigs eating every day, having every meal, and his stomach was empty, he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave anything to him. And there he came to his senses, and he said, "My father's high servants, when they eat, they have food to spare, and here I'm starving to death. I've sinned against heaven and against God, and I'm no longer worthy as a son. So I'll go back to my father, and I'll apologize to him and ask for forgiveness." And so he headed on, got up and went to his father. And while he was a long way off, he saw something way off in the distance. It was his father. And his father saw him. And his father began to run to him. And as he ran to his son ran to him, and they embraced. The father embraced the son, and he kissed him. The son said to the father, "I've sinned against you, Father, against heaven, against God, and I'm no worthy to be called your son." But the father said, "Quick, get the best robe and put on him, put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine that was dead is now alive. He was lost, and now he is found," and they begin to celebrate. Man, that's a good story, isn't it? A son who had it all and threw it all away and was broken and in despair. He had lost his happiness. He had lost his joy. He almost lost his reason to live. And when we're lost, that's the condition that we're in. The son wasted his inheritance in the parable of the lost son. The Bible describes him being so miserable that he ate the food the pigs ate, lived in the pig pen. There was no happiness outside of relationship with his father. And just like that son, we weren't made to live outside of a relationship with our heavenly father. We were not made to live in disharmony with God. We were not made to live a life that lives as though God doesn't exist. Disharmony with God creates tension and stress and guilt and despair. Lost people lose their happiness. And number five is lost people lose their home in heaven. The father allowed the son to rebel him and leave his earthly home. And just like the father in the parable of the lost son, God allows us to rebel on earth. But beloved, there's no rebellion in heaven. And that's why lost people have no heavenly home. But of course, that's not the end of the story. Amen?
Amen?
Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And these parables in Luke 15 remind us that God loves the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. Jesus didn't come so we could have a beautiful Christmas service with beautiful decorations and nice wrapped presents and sing comfort and song. Jesus came to pursue us and to save us. Aren't you glad? You ever physically been lost? Three people, okay. I can remember one time many years ago, and it's been many, we had a snowstorm. And what a better time to go riding the four-wheelers than in a snowstorm. So we struck out, so about many of us there in the community headed out in the woods on these paths we had rode for many years. And it was steady snowing. And it wasn't long when we decided we were going to head back that the snow had covered the paths. And in the woods, if you don't see the path, you're in trouble. We finally got out of there. We didn't come back on the path. We come out on the highway somewhere, and we're able to get back. But it was terrifying, not only for me, but for my wife. She actually bought me that experience. She bought me a handheld GPS. And that thing was nice. You could go anywhere, land, water, mountains. It didn't make no difference. You could see yourself where you're at, where you came from, and where you needed to go at all times. Jesus is like that GPS. He came to rescue the lost. The lost man who comes to a worship service after trying everything else to fix the pain in his life. Jesus came to recover the lost woman in your neighborhood who feels she has no value because she's been abused. She longs to know that she matters. Jesus came to rescue lost children who've been abandoned and desperately need to hear they have a heavenly Father who loves them with an unconditional, steadfast love. Jesus came to fix the lost, broken relationships among marriages and families and neighbors and churches, so we can live together and reflect the power of knowing Him as an almighty God who works in our lives. God came to fix the brokenness in our lives, in the lives of lost people in our churches and communities, and to fill us with hope and kingdom purpose, to empower His church to be kingdom people and reflect His light and shine Him among all people. Maybe you or someone you know is in a lost condition, lost direction, lost God's protection, lost potential, lost happiness, lost home in heaven. And today, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can do that today. And if you have questions, I'd love to hear them. And if you know Jesus, Christmas tells us that we need to tell as many lost people as we can about a Savior who came to seek and to save the lost. Because when the lost are found, it gets God's attention. And all heaven rejoices. Carol Simbler wrote a song. I'll quote a few lines out of it from that song. And it simply says, there's nothing better. There's nothing better than living for Jesus. There's nothing better than living for Him. He alone can satisfy. It's in Him we are alive. There's nothing better than living for Him. He is love and He is light. I'm so glad that He is mine. There's nothing better. There's nothing better. Oh, the joy that floods my soul. Jesus' love has made me whole. He is mine, and now I know there's nothing better. I have tasted and I've seen. Jesus, you're all I need. Just to know, nothing's better. This Christmas, as we prepare to celebrate Jesus' birth, we're communicating the most important message the world has ever known. In Jesus, there's nothing better. Because Christmas is all about Him coming to pursue us and to save the lost. So let the real purpose of Christmas be your purpose this Christmas season. Father, we thank you for your word today. And we're so thankful that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Help us to never forget that. And help us to always remember the joy that you give us when we're found. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's turn to 281, stand and sing verses 1 and 3 of What Child Is This?
So remember those announcements we have in the bulletin and the Christmas caroling and council for today. Remember those of asking interest in our prayers. Remember those listed on the back of the bulletin. Anybody have anything to say before we leave?
I do.
Well, get up here, please, so we can hear you. Will you dismiss us for prayer, too?
I'll if I can.
If you can't, I will. Okay. All right.
Dennis puts it this way. The Lord's been working on me lately for quite a while. And if you heard what we talked about at pre-Thanksgiving, it's about prayer. And then we've been doing this study, and prayer has been a big part of it. And then last Sunday, we had just this powerful, wonderful, spirit-filled lifting up of Greg, which we should have. It was wonderful. But I got to thinking, what if we bathed everything we do in that much prayer? Mm-hmm. What if we prayed about what God wants to do through us as a church, what he wants to do through us as individuals? And I don't know if that takes the form of a prayer hour or a prayer meeting or a prayer room or a prayer team or a prayer marathon. I don't know. But God has just been working on my heart for prayer, for what he wants us to do. Not just the same old things, but what he wants us to do. And some of you know, Paul and I haven't always gotten along, but I've been trying to read Paul, and I've been reading from Ephesians, and yesterday this is what I read. when I, wait a minute, lost my place. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through the Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. And your roots will go down deep into God's love and keep you strong. Now, all glory to God, who is able through the mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. I don't know what I'm saying except pray about it and think about it and see if God's saying something to you about what we need to do and pray. Anyway, thank you. That's it. You got to do it.
Anybody else have anything to say before we leave? Father, we're thankful that you speak to us because you're alive. You speak through worship, through your word, and through your people. You've spoken clearly to us today. Help us to take what you said and apply it where you want it applied, and move in our lives to do God-sized things this week and the days to follow. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.